Squeeze everything in your body. Exhale with a big ass scream. Scream!
Virtual reality.
Hi, I'm Danny Murphy.
And I'm Evan Real.
And wow, Evan, Katie Maloney kept everybody on their toes this week on Vanderpump Rules. I think this probably is one of the best episodes of the season so far.
Oh my, there was so much going on. Like, I'm still processing it all, but obviously Katie Maloney was truly the star. I feel like she was in the mix in like every single scene.
Oh, she was in the mix on the max.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the thing. Katie was having such a great episode until that last scene when Brock dropped the bomb that apparently she's hooking up with Max.
You missed it.
What happened? Max and Katie went home and
made out?
No, like, touch peepees.
If you guys don't remember Max Boyens is from several seasons of Vanderpump Rules ago. It was during that season where they did the massive cast shakeup where they added Dana and this girl and that girl and that dude. And it ended up being like half of them were fired because most of them were racist, including Max. He had some racist tweets and mm-hmm. Bravo gave him the chop. But Katie didn't give him the chop.
Oh, I mean, I don't know what she gave. I don't know who gave who what. All I know is everybody gave Sheena Find My Friend access, and that's how some truths came out. I'm not going to go in who gave who what.
I can't believe that it was so endearing / alarming that Sheena keeps track of, I think she said 65 people. Like, it's nice to know that she cares about where her friends are.
Wait, that's such a tourist vibe. I want all my friends' locations, and they're always like, why do you care? I'm like, why do you care that I care?
Right.
I'm like, what are you up to? I'm like, I'll never hold anything against you. And because you find out things like this.
Right. And then, right. So like, what would this episode have been had Sheena not been keeping tabs? If anything, she's like Nancy Drew. And we love a Bravo celebrity who, you know, taps into her inner Nancy Drew. It's very Meghan King of her. I feel like Meghan King probably has like 6,500 people's locations.
She probably was so proud of Sheena, and I like tapping into Find My Friends a little bit more than tapping into whatever Sandoval was tapping into while like I feel Lala's face summed it up for all of us watching that, of her just like, why did I walk in here again?
I was so uncomfortable watching it. It really truly looked like an exorcism, which honestly, after like the year that Sandoval has had, like an exorcism might actually be just what the doctor ordered. But I think that what he likened this experience to was an emotional orgasm, just kind of like letting out whatever angst and anger he's been holding on to for the past year. And I do think that when Lala walked into the room in her like porn star style Mary Jane's, her oversized camo hoodie was giving like Anna Nicole like on the feet, but like Duck Dynasty on the chest.
It was giving, do you know Bass Pro Shop?
Yes.
Because there's one, I don't know if they all look like that in Memphis, the triangle, the pyramid, because mm-hmm. she had the pyramid purse. I really feel she was like, this is my mood board for the day. It was more Lauren, not Lala. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, so obviously she was wearing what she was wearing and it was a look. But like you said, the look on her face, Danny, that was the best accessory, because it was just telling us everything that we needed to know, which was Lala, I think, regretted arriving to Sandoval's house for a minute. But then she kind of like got in the groove. She
got a latte.
Yeah, got one of his famous lattes, and they chatted in the backyard for a bit. And it was, you know, as Lala described to Ariana later in the episode, it was a fabulous conversation. It was a productive conversation, mm-hmm. but I don't think productive for their friendship. I think this is like the beginning of the end, because as we know, they're not getting along right now. I think this is what started it.
I 100%, because I do feel it's kind of like Lala's like, finally someone lets me talk about Randall. Thank you, Sandoval. Like, she's just waiting for someone to listen to her on a couch, which I get. I get why not everybody wants to, but I get that Sandoval and her were going a little bit back and forth. So I feel this definitely is some of the tension between Lala and Ariana. And I wonder, too, because when Lala also heard the reveal from Schwartz about the Sheena Schwartz kiss, makeout level, layer, I did not expect Katie to be as upset with Sheena. For some reason, I kind of was like, oh, at this point, everything's water under the bridge.
I had smoothies at Creation with Schwartzy. He drops on me that a few years ago, Sheena and I made out in Vegas.
What? What the actual
Katie, I mean, to her, I get why also. She really wasn't vibing with Sheena after this, so I think this really starts the Lala Sheena versus Katie Ariana complete divide because it's just feuding all around. What did you think about all that Shishu Vegas situation?
Well, what I thought was so interesting is when Lala was sort of figuring out, who should I talk to first? Katie?
Who should I run to?
Yeah. And she ultimately chose Katie over talking to Sheena first. And what she said in the confessional is like, I didn't want to give Sheena time to paint a pretty picture, which I thought was very interesting. And honestly, I don't think that this whole situation would have been as dramatic had she gone to Sheena first to let Sheena paint her Monet or whatever it is that she was going to paint, because Sheena really does have a way of interpreting reality.
The Shakespeare, yes.
And as Sheena was explaining her side of the situation to Katie, I kind of bought it. The part where I really agreed with Sheena is like, I was in the beginning of my engagement with Shay, and you and Schwartzy were doing your thing, and this kiss wasn't a makeout. It was kind of like a weird, awkward interaction kind of thing. And I didn't tell you it because I didn't want to, you know, get in the way of your happily ever after with Schwartz. Like she said, like she was rooting for.
What bought me more? Because I didn't buy that. Sorry, Sheena. Oh. What I bought more was when Sheena was like, I knew you would kill me because you hated me then. Because I'm Sheena's like, yeah, why would I tell you during peak Tequila Katie?
And that's the thing, too. It's like, we know that Sheena and Katie's relationship has been fraught for so many years, especially during the 2013 of it all. Those girls did not get along. So Sheena probably, you know, in 2024 is like, I didn't want to ruin your happily ever after. But also, like, in 2013 was probably like, why the... I don't owe you anything because you're witching a wheel against me. And what do I have to, like, no, ma'am.
How many Fs do I give?
But it's probably, right. Like, but I think that it's probably such a punch in the gut to Katie now because she and Sheena have really gone back and forth, worked so hard to repair their friendship. And it's like, wow, through all the work that we put in together, somehow no one told me about this. Do you think that Ariana knew?
That's where my head is going. If she was there. I think Ariana knew. I think Sheena's mom knew. I think the entire cheer team that they went to watch knew. You know what I mean? I think everyone probably knew.
Yeah. Do you know what Ariana also knew? Is that she was not going to give Tom Sandoval the time of... How awkward was that when he came... I mean, awkward, but also amazing. Like Ariana, like, truly was like a statue. Like, she was like playing dead like a dog.
Yes, she looked like Medusa. Yeah, it was full on done. And especially after the whole doggy vet situation, I understand. I think Sandoval's very lucky she gave him silence and not full rage, which I think she wanted to do. So, yes. I mean, I am curious to see as the season goes on if they have any more interactions on camera. I honestly don't really think so. What I am sad about is that we'll never see awkward interactions between Candace and Robin again, because Potomac, we're dropping like flies.
I know. It's so... I was really not expecting Candace to be the first Potomac girl to exit after the season. I kind of figured that...
After she talked to you about the exit plan, I thought it would be in a year or two.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be... so soon. So like, yeah, I spent the day with Candace in LA not too long ago, like maybe just a month and a half ago. And, you know, she's pursuing music and she's got her eye on the Grammy. And I was like, is there ever a plan or intention to one day leave reality TV and focus on music altogether? And she was like, yeah, of course there's a plan. Not just yet. I'm still enjoying myself. But, you know, in the future, one day, Cardi B style, we can try and make that like Love and Hip Hop to Grammy winner trajectory happen. But yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be this soon. And
Do
then
you
I'm also
think, oh, what were you gonna say?
No, I was just gonna say I'm also surprised that Robin's departure is coming in tandem, because those were two girls who couldn't get along, but maybe they just canceled each other out.
I feel maybe it was a cancel out. What I feel maybe happened is because Andy really wanted some resolution at this reunion that we haven't even seen yet. So it's also LOL, all this news before we even see what went down there. But I think we can assume, as Dorinda would say, not well, B, like how the reunion went, where I think they kind of were like, all right, so still no one's talking. We're going to have to like move and shake some things around. I feel it's kind of like Karen and Giselle are going to be on. They're like Kyle Richards and Teresa. Like Karen and Giselle are going to be on Potomac. So if Candace isn't talking to Giselle, goodbye. But Giselle, we got to have you get on a little bit less comfy territory. So we're going to lose your BFF to kind of see what goes on. And I kind of think this is and I think even production reported to Deadline in the end of the goodbyes that we're going to be seeing from RHOP this year.
Where do you think this leaves Wendy?
On her YouTube show, which I'm excited for because I love it, because I watch some episodes. I feel it's hard because Wendy kind of, I think, especially this, well, she was good having some back and forth with NECA. I don't think we're going to be getting that many updates about NECA moving forward on Potomac. You know what I mean? I feel it is going to be Giselle, Karen,
Ashley.
I hope Ashley. A lot of people are thinking Ashley might be out, especially after people are divided if she, the part she played in the Deborah debacle. I don't know. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what goes on there.
What are your predictions for the reunion, or what are you most looking forward to the girls sort of hashing out? I have my one thing that I really want to dive into more, and I want to see if it's the same thing as you.
Wait, what is yours?
Okay, after watching this episode of Vanderpump Rules and this season of The Real Housewives of Potomac and last season of Selling Sunset,
okay,
I need to discuss the crackhead epidemic going on in reality TV. And it's not that people are using crack, it's that people are accusing people of doing crack.
Yes.
And I don't know how it has become a trend, but Katie accused Joe of doing crack. Chrishell accused Nicole of doing crack on Selling Sunset. And the same for Dr. Wendy accusing NECA of doing crack. And it's like they say it like just so randomly,
casually,
no evidence. Yeah. And I just want to know where like Wendy got that.
She'll tell you. I'm sure she want to know. I am very curious about what goes on. I think it's going to be a very unproductive reunion, but a very exciting one to watch probably, because I feel no one made any amends, especially after such an intense, you know who came out on top, I feel, after this season? She had some drama. Our girl Miss Mia.
Oh, Mia, 100%. This was Mia's
season. Oh, she's staying too. Mia's staying. Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, Mia's definitely staying after this season. This was honestly kind of like a landmark season for her. Mm-hmm. Like, even though a lot of people considered the season of Potomac like its snooziest or maybe the worst, it's been a great season for Mia. We've seen so much of her, and I truly think that her Gordon situation was so compelling. That last like 20 minutes of the finale, like, so freaking good. I could have done like a 2-part Peacock docuseries on that.
Please, so good. Speaking of wanting more of people's drama, a little birdie told you that someone is no longer tardy for the party and coming back to our screens?
Yes. Okay, so Kim Zolciak is trying to RSVP back into the world of reality TV. She has a new show in the early stages of development. That's what sources were telling me. It's not clear what the show will be about, where it will land. She's in talks with several streamers and networks.
Okay.
But Danny, like, did you see what this show is tentatively titled?
Yes. To Hell and Back, right?
To Hell and Back, which honestly, I kind of love it, because that is really kind of a summation of what we've seen Kim Zolciak go through with all her financial woes and her this crazy divorce with Croy Bierman. So, I mean, I don't know about you. I would 100% watch the show. I also do kind of like how To Hell and Back with Kim Zolciak, I kind of like that.
Oh, she's Shakespearean.
It was very like WeTV to me.
WeTV, you said?
Yeah, doesn't it feel kind of like WE TV to you?
It's screaming Mama June, yes. And I mean that as a captivating, because I mean we're keeping up to date with her. It just really does track, and I feel a lot of people have been having a lot of questions about Kim Zolciak. So while we don't know when that's coming out, we do know, and this ties into reality TV, that Cowboy Carter is out tomorrow. Or midnight tonight, yes.
I am so freaking excited, Danny. This is going to be so good. Like, I'm not the biggest country person, but for Beyonce, I am the biggest country. You know what I mean? Like,
For Beyonce, I will get blisters from cowboy boots. Like, I don't know what about. I will find them. I don't know if DSW has them. I will try to purchase them though.
Yes. Well, while we're all excited for the new Beyonce album that's dropping this week, I chatted a little bit with Lisa Milan from The Real Housewives of Dubai. And season 2 is coming out, not anytime super soon. It's coming out in June. But I chatted with her all about her business, Mina Rowe, her maternity line that she designed, and how she got Beyonce to wear pieces from her maternity line, which is amazing. But then Beyonce also kind of came up, because apparently Beyonce is causing drama on season 2 of The Real Housewives of Dubai, which I don't know if you guys remember, you probably remember because the videos were everywhere on social media, but Beyonce had this big, massive show
it's
in Dubai.
Where the Drunken Love riff was born.
Yes, yeah, when she's like on that little, what is that, like a rising pillar kind of thing?
Ow.
Like, yeah, no, it looked like such an epic show, and most of the Dubai cast was there to celebrate Beyonce and all her queendom, but apparently there was some drama about where people were sitting, who was in the VIP section, so I don't know, she gave us a little tease about what to expect from the next season of Dubai and how Queen Bee gets involved.
You know you're that bee when you cause all this conversation.
Do you feel like, and I know that we have months to go before we see season 2 of The Real Housewives of Dubai, did you feel like you wrapped up that season feeling like you were winning? Like, do you feel good about this upcoming season?
So I'll say this. Season 1, I feel I not toed the line. I've always been myself, but I think I was kind of like, okay, let's see how everybody's gonna receive this, you know? Season 2, I was like, no, you're gonna get Lisa and Milan. Like, we're both showing up for work.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that ruffled a lot of feathers, sadly. However, it's a good season. Yeah. Did it end the way that I wanted it to? You're gonna have to tune in to see. But I'll say season 2 is explosive. Like, if we're not in the millions for views, and like, I'd be shocked, put it that way. I think season 2 is so epic. We have a new housewife. She's a ball of fire. We have, you know, other big energies and personalities still on board. And it's pretty good.
Oh, I love that. And fans got a taste of it at BravoCon. There was a screening.
Yes.
Episode 1, which created a lot of buzz. What was your reaction to the fan reaction? That must have been so fun. You know, because we haven't seen you guys on TV for so long. It probably was a lot of fun just to hear the excitement from the people.
It was so fun. We had such a positive reaction, which we were kind of expecting, to be honest, because we were like, we rapped and we were like, oh my God. Oh my God. While filming, it was draining, I'm not gonna lie. And while you're going through the motions, it was not fun. You know, we had really fun moments, but we really had some tough times. Yeah. And so when you're in the process, it's like, oh my God, like this is getting to be a lot. But when you're on the outside and, you know, you look back, you're like, you know what? I've grown from that. That has helped me in some way. And I'm not talking to that bitch anymore, you know?
Oh, so, man.
It's like a whole process. But the fans' reaction at BravoCon was like, okay, this was all worth it.
What is it like sort of experiencing that span of time between wrapping filming and the premiere? Like, are you anxious? Are you excited? The thing I feel like what I would feel like if I was a Real Housewife is I would be so anxious to see what people say about me in confessionals, because you experience the season the way you thought you experienced it, and then to see people talk about you or narrate certain scenes from a totally different perspective.
Different perspective. Yeah, I think that is the hardest part. I think hearing people's confessions. I think the confessionals, I think, is usually that causes the drama more than what actually happened in the scene. It's hearing like people and their thoughts and their shade and all of it. You know, did you have my back? Did you not have my back? Like, why would you feel like that? Why couldn't you pick up the phone and call me? You know, but it's all a process, and it's just what it comes with, right? So what I always said to the girls, it's just someone's opinion, you know. And as much as it's painful, because even for me, like, girl, don't call me at 2 o'clock in the morning when you just watched the episode to scream in my ear. Like, that's just how I feel. That's just how I felt. You know, like, let's talk about it at the reunion.
Right. Who do you think will, if you could say, who do you think will have the most apologizing to do for the Dubai season 2 reunion?
The new girl. Her and Ayan, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I put Ayan number one. Ayan has a lot of, I think so.
Before I let you go, Lisa, I just remembered that in the teaser for season 2, there's like drama about that big Beyonce show in Dubai that she did. What, if you could just like sum it up, it's like, how the hell is like Beyonce starting drama on The Real Housewives of Dubai?
Well, I'll say this, you know, there's different levels and tiers of drama, right? You know, it's top tier when the drama is about Beyonce and where we're seated.
Yes, but that is luxury, baby. Like,
that's Dubai. Everything is bigger and better in Dubai.
Oh, I love it. Well, that is a perfect place to end it, Lisa. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. I always enjoy seeing you. It's always such a blast.